This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. We're going to be in the studio for another 15 or so minutes. I'm joined by...
Arvind Braj.
And Jeff Sandhu.
The topic of discussion today is whether or not people who drive for these ride-hailing apps should be considered employees or independent contractors. This is because over in Switzerland, a Swiss court has ruled that a former Uber driver was an employee of the ride-sharing firm and not an independent contractor in a potentially landmark decision. We've been discussing about this, and if you wanted to take part in the conversation, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter and Instagram, at BFM Radio. Before we wrap up, we've had a bunch of WhatsApps during the break.
Yeah.
Is it all because of the magic stuff, or are we talking about ride-hailing?
Ride-hailing.
Go on then.
So this comes from Billy Sohan, who says, the traditional definition of an independent contractor is that he is on a contract for services, while that of an employee is that he is on a contract of service.
Okay.
Interesting. Eugene says, definitely independent contractors, Grab, they're meant to be a side gig. It's meant to be an independent business platform. They're very much like mobile franchise to earn you inconsistent income. So they are not meant to be employees or protected by the company. Have you ever heard of businesses being protected by their manufacturers when it comes to insurance, income, or health?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's one from HF Kwong who says that they compare e-hailing with taxi drivers, which is absurd. E-hailing world over has its own self-regulatory whereby you can be penalized or suspended if you commit any wrong. Also true. Then we have one for, wait, there's a bunch here. Karamjit says, the previous messenger is right. Can't judge until we know all the facts behind the judge's decision. However, it seems to me the former Uber driver was addicted to driving. After driving for so many hours, not wanting to look for another job, even when it became less rewarding. What else can you call it? The guy was addicted to Uber.
Yeah, so there are a lot of drivers that I know who are addicted to one, you know, platform in the city, and they do it for many hours in the day. And it's just like, why don't you either look for a full-time job?
Mm.
Or why don't you try to, I guess, look for some security of some sort? Because, you know, independent or freelancer, whatever you want to call it, don't give you that assurance of a full-time employee. So, employment. So, yeah.
Okay, Jeff, I know you've been dying to get this headline out for the last 45 minutes or so. What's it called again? What did you call it?
Crossy Roads Hefty Fines. Crossy Roads is, of course, one of that game that, you know, was really famous, I think, like 2 years ago or so, right? And my mom still plays it, and she's got, like, some amazing high score. Anyways, the Chinese city of Shenzhen is home to hundreds of thousands of vehicles, so it needs tighter regulations to control the heavy flow of traffic through its streets. But they also have 12 million residents, and enforcing those rules is not easy. So the police have an invisible hand helping them, courtesy of a local firm in China called IntelliFusion, which uses high-definition cameras and AI technology to catch these traffic rules violators, whether they are driving or on foot. And for the past 2 years now, IntelliFusion system has been quickly matching car number plates and pedestrian faces with information that's stored in the police system. And then they actually display the names and the faces of jaywalkers on a nearby LED screen to shame them to comply, into complying. So this is like something where if you're crossing the street and it's a, you know, it's a red light where you can't cross, but there's no car, let's say, right? And all of us have done this before. You look around left and right.
No,
right?
No, we've not.
there's no car, so you make, you know, you try to cross the road. Now imagine when you cross the road, in front of you there is a screen that then tells you, shows your face and your name, and then tells you that, you know what, this is the fifth time you have jaywalked, and you know, this is your fine. Everyone else also could see this. Now if you're in a car, that's where the AI goes into some crazy levels of intelligence, because what it does, it scans the number plate. If it can't get a good image of your face, let's say you're using a mask or a cap or glasses, they can't recognize who it is, they scan your plate to see who the car is registered to, and then the person who's the owner of the car will then have his face, his or her face on that screen itself. So that's how
not scary at all, is it?
Yeah, so the current system, they feature a network of cameras, each with a 7 million pixel resolution. This is according to Wang Jun. He's the company's director of marketing solutions. In the 10 months after the system's debut, as many as about 13,000 jaywalkers, 13,000 to 14,000 jaywalkers were displayed on the LED screens at the busy intersection in the Fujian district, according to the Shenzhen police traffic. The IntelliFusion team, they plan to team up with China's technology giants, as well as Tencent and the telecommunications network operators, to introduce a system whereby whenever you jaywalk, you are immediately notified of your wrongdoings through an instant messaging service, and you can also then pay using apps like WeChat and stuff. So immediately as you break the law, your face is up on the TV screen and, like, you know, with your name and stuff. And then your phone goes into an instant messaging saying, like, hey, you know what? This is your fifth time and here you go. This is your fine. Make payment now with WeChat. And then you make the payment and then you continue walking. Mm. It's only a matter of time before, like, if you don't make the payment, you can't walk, like, because it feels like it's that. However, they haven't, like, implemented this notification system just yet. They are still trying to talk to their telco providers there. Now, China is poised to overtake Britain as the world's most monitored society, with nearly 200 million public and private surveillance cameras across the country, especially in major cities like, you know, Richard, your second home, Beijing, and Shanghai.
Yeah.
Local governments have also invested heavily to expand the coverage of the surveillance cameras to improve public security. One eastern Chinese city in Jiangsu province even boasted that the security cameras would cover everything, no blind spots in the city.
Including public toilets, I presume.
Well, they say no blind spots in the city.
I think that's like a default blind spot.
No. In some of those cities, the second tier cities, they don't even have doors on the cubicles in the washrooms.
Why?
That's how it is.
We ask a lot of why questions. We ask a lot of why questions.
So, wait, just a heads up. Should you decide to go to one of these washrooms, take an umbrella with you.
Oh, clever. All right. You see, we're learning from a local.
Make your own blind spots.
Pretty much, yes.
And when you combine the spending on the smart cities in Singapore, Beijing, Shanghai, Seoul, they're expected to exceed about $4 billion this year. This is according to IDC, which is a research firm. China will, of course, account most of it with the technology that they're spending, and most of the investments are in fixed visual surveillance equipment. So these are like CCTV cameras that are, you know, put all around cities and stuff, so they're not mobile. As successful as IntelliFusion's naming and shaming trials have been in China, it's only been used for it has been used for more than just catching this jaywalker. So in April 2018, the Shenzhen police launched a system that spot cars that are violating traffic rules, and then they capture the photos of both the drivers and the number plates. Now, the system can also identify the driver by looking at the faces in a police database, and then they can confirm whether or not they had their licenses revoked for previous offences. This technology is also being used on the 55-kilometre Hong Kong Zhuhai and Macau Bridge, which is the longest sea-crossing bridge, which puts three cities within an hour's drive of each other. It is also supporting authorities in trying to do testings for high-resolution cameras, fingerprint matching, thermal scanning on immigration lanes at the border control in Zhuhai to sort of speed up custom clearance, which is great. You know, when you use technology for these kind of things, for speeding up customs clearance, that's by all means go ahead and do that. But when it's name and shame, it's a little bit Game of Thrones style, and I don't quite like it.
Okay, so for the naming and shaming, I understand why, to a degree, why that's happening. A few years ago, there was a real issue in some of the major cities of China where people were making false insurance claims by jaywalking or by pretending to be hit by a vehicle or whatever. And there was no way that the authorities, because of the size of the population, could keep up with all of these cases and show how accurate or inaccurate that these claims were. So something like this, I suppose, in its kind of very heavy-handed way is a way of saying, look, don't do that.
Yeah, but no, but also something has to be working very well, right? I mean, for everyone to be okay with their rules like this, it has
they
to be...
They don't have a choice, Arv.
On one side, yeah. But for me, like, I've always admired how fast China does things. I've said this many, many times here on this, but yeah. And also when they want to implement, like, new tech, they say they have, like, tech this month, the next month, it's fully implemented. It's fast. It's always fast. It's like, do first, talk later kind of thing. So there must be something that's sort of proven or, you know, it's working well for them.
996.
996 is one. But then also if they see a reduction in jaywalkers, if they go like, look, the reason we're doing this is because we want safety to be our number one priority. We don't want people to be jaywalking. We don't want people to be speeding. So we name and shame. If the name and shame works in the long run, everyone benefits. So I think that's a sort of like the approach. And they're going like,
well, 14,000 people have been fined jaywalking ever since they've implemented this about 10 months ago. Yeah. So, you know, 10 months ago, 14,000, that's a lot of people.
A lot. But it's also normalized. It's also normalized. So if even if your face pops up, you're like one in 14,000. It's like, hey, that's my friend. That's my friend. Those are all my friends.
I'll be standing there just taking a photo of these kind of people, right? Also, the other interesting fact that I'll try to sort of dig up more info. I couldn't do it in this short space of time. But IntelliFusion, they've also exported its technologies to Malaysia.
Yes. Smart city stuff. We do actually have a couple of messages that we've got to refer to before we wrap up, though, because this is some scary stuff.
Yeah.
And I think deserves a show all by itself. We need, you know what we need and we've not had for a while? We need a China show. Mm-hmm. That's what we need.
Or how that would work here.
Oh, do we have to do that? Mm. Okay, message very quickly. Very quickly.
This goes back to the ride-hailing thing. It says, this comes from Auta Singh, who says, since there is no regulatory board monitoring e-hailing, Grab indiscriminately permanently terminating drivers without proper hearing or explanation on why Grab took such action. Mind you, the drivers are not employees of Grab, just as partners where the drivers are using the app by only paying 20-25% commission.
Wow. There you go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for all of your tweets, all of your messages, all of that stuff. Our discussion, of course, was whether or not these drivers should be considered employees or whether or not they should be considered independent contractors, but on the back of a Swiss court declaring that a driver was actually an employee. He did drive more than 5,600 hours, though, and completed more than 9,000 trips. Mm-hmm. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast a little bit later on. It might be a little bit slower today, but it will be up available on the website and via our app, which is available in the Apple App Store, Google Play, or of course we're on Spotify. So that's the story that we started off with, how a Swiss court has declared a driver an Uber employee. We then moved on to...
Then we spoke about how Magic is putting a little magic in your business with their Global Accelerator Program, or GAP.
And Crossy Roads, hefty fines.
There you go. So we wrapped up with... but don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. It is with Juan Nadia, CEO of Thompson Hospital, previously known as Tropicana Medical Center. Thompson Hospital at Kota Damansara aims to triple their capacity in the next few years. The Breakfast Grill spoke with the CEO, Juan Nadia, on the growth plans of the hospital and the sentiments of the private healthcare market in Malaysia. Thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back, of course, same time, same place tomorrow at noon. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Jeff Sandhu, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.